Where's that we're up to? We're up to page 538, the middle of the first two psukim. I'm sorry, pasuk beis and pasuk gimel, and now we are up to the malbum. Okay, I believe we finished the radak. Okay, we finished the radak, and now we're going to do the malbum. Malbum pasuk beis says. All right, don't worry about it. Okay, we're beginning a pasuk beis, the Malbim on page 539. Kel kanoi. Remember, we learned yesterday there are three different expressions. Kel techila yomar hatzav hakdama el sifrei. The Malbim says that Nachum is now giving us an introduction to the sefer. Hashem kel noikem. Hashem kel kanoi v'noikem. Ritzon lemar sheyesh bo shnei midos. There, Hashem has two separate midas. Aleph, number one, by Levitz, good morning. Aleph, number one, l'kanei al kavod shmoy hamechulal. The first mid of Hashem is to take revenge or to demand justice for His name that has been defiled. Beis linkoim al harash shenasa linegdoi. To take revenge for evil that has been practice opposite him. Okay, so two separate principles. The one is Hashem's name has been desecrated, and number two, evil has been practiced in this world. He's suggesting here that there are two separate principles. Behavior that is not correct. That's number two. Number one is the desecration to Hashem's name. And he explains, the yesh hevdel beinehem shebitzat shnekim al harash asu harasham bepoyal lo yarechaf. With regard to the evil that the second portion, the second thing that the averos that are done, Hashem does not have patience.
Pardon me. Where are we?
We're on page 539. In the Malbum, part 539 of the Malbum. Okay, we're up to 1, 2, 3, 5 lines down. Af rak noikem Hashem yinkoim tekev shelo yasmidu b'ra'asam v'yacharivu esa olam. When it comes to averos that are done by wicked people, Hashem does not have the luxury to have patience. Because if Hashem, it's an incredible yisod he's saying here, if Hashem is going to have patience and going to allow the wicked people to do averos, then they'll destroy the world. If you will have patience, there'll be nothing left to have patience for. The averos that they do are so great, the world's going to be destroyed very quickly. People will be killed. People are going to the Avodah Zarah, Gilrei Shvich Hastam will totally destroy the world. So Hashem does not have the luxury to have patience when it comes to averos. Aval bitzad shehu kanoi al kvod shemoi, with regard to the fact that Hashem's name has been desecrated, that people do not appreciate who Hashem is. Hashem, they don't acknowledge His existence. That Hashem has patience for. Ein noikem tekef raku bal chema. Hashem is a bal chema. He's angry. Shegeder hachema hu sheshomer hakas b'livoy. Ve'ein moitzio elapola hanish olav shezeyikre b'shem af. That Hashem is able to withhold. Period. Okay, so he's saying over here a really, really beautiful yesoid. It's kedai to come just for this, at least for me. And that is, we do find all over the Tanakh, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has patience. But we also find that Hashem is kel kanoi. Hashem is a God that punishes immediately. It does not make any mention of patience. And the answer he explains is the very big, very fundamental difference. When Hashem's name is desecrated, meaning people do not appreciate Hashem, they don't acknowledge His existence, or they acknowledge His existence and they rebel against Him, but their averos are not to the degree where they threaten the existence of this world. There's no murder, there is no breakdown of society, of Gilui Arayos, to a degree where a person can't live and function normally, then Hashem is willing to be patient. But when the averos affect the daily functions of this world, Hashem has no choice but to take action immediately so that the world continues to exist. Now he elaborates more. Now in the first wide line on page 539, we explain these two different yanim. Noikim hu l'tzarav, v'noita hu l'oivav. We're coming to explain the difference between these two different concepts. Ki yesh hevdel bein tzar uvein oyev. We began to discuss this yesterday. The difference between a tzar and an oyev. Sh'atzar hu hameitzer b'poyal. The tzar, we said this yesterday, he's out in the open. V'ho'oyev hu adoyresh ro'osoy balei v'einoy meitzer b'poyal. An oyev is someone who holds in his hatred. He hates the other fellow. He wants to do harm. He's planning and plotting, but he's not actually doing anything out in the open. V'tsuyar tsar, she'enoy oyev, imeitzer loy lehanosoy, shloy machmas eva. The description of a tsar is a person that, you can have someone who's a tsar and not an oyev, meaning, the reason why you cause your friend pain is not because he really hates you. I don't really hate you. It's just that you have something that I want. You have oil and I have water. I need oil and you are in my way. So I have to live. I have to have oil. I don't really hate you. If you were not in possession of the item that I want, I would let you live. I wouldn't bother you. I wouldn't think about you. But you have something that I need and you're in the way and therefore I'm going to kill you. That's a tsar who's not an oyev. An oyev who is not a tsar is someone that has nothing that you want, nothing, does not possess anything that is of value to you, but you hate him because you hate him. You hate him l'shma. So there's an oyev without being a tsar. And then there's the worst, when you have people that they have both together. There is a person, there are people that have what you want, they're in their way, they are in your way, and also you just don't like them. You don't like them l'shma. So that can be a tsar and an oyev. So he writes, Yitzuyar tsar, Yitzuyar means we can have a description of a tsar she'en oyev, imeitzer loy lahanasoy, if the reason why you're causing him tsar is for your own benefit, shloy machmas eva. The oyev, there is such a hechetim, so an oyev she'en meitzar, imeen oyser loy ra, you don't do anything to him because there's nothing that he has that you need, but you still hate him, period. Now, the Eitzel Hashem. Now, let's take these concepts and let's apply it to Hashem.
Before that,
what
is an anti-Semite?
Both.
What is he?
Both. Anti-Semitism, obviously, is something which is multi-dimensional, multifaceted, multidimensional. There are so many different types of anti-Semites, of reasons why Goyim hate Jews. In every generation, there's a new brand, a new version, a new dimension. And you have definitely this anti-Semitism that stems from of a tsar. They imagine that we have all the money, we're in control, we're in possession of power, and they want it. So we're in their way. They don't necessarily hate us for who we are. They hate us because we have money, we have power, we have objects that they want, and we have the jobs, and we're getting in their way. Or you have anti-Semitism in history where the Jew has nothing, they're poor as dirt, and yet they just hate them, l'shma. There's nothing we can give them that will satisfy them. They hate us out of pure hatred. That's called an oyev. And then there have been times in history where both of them come together. And then there are other types of anti-Semitism. There is you can trace it back to the Bechoira. To Esav, Har Sinai, Misham Yarda Sina L'Olam. When Klal Yisrael received the Torah, a hatred went down to the world. The recognition that they have nothing. There's another type. They have nothing for themselves.
It's envy.
All different types. Anti-Semitism is something which is multifaceted, multidimensional, and it's not. You can't just summarize it in one sentence. And every generation is different. And here he's only discussing two different elements. He's discussing the context of this pasuk related to Hashem. There is the enemies. There are Hashem has people who he considers to be his tsarav, and those he considers to be his oivav. And he's coming to put this in context of the two different types of reasons, two different types of problems people make. He explains. The Eitzel Hashem Ha'isim Ros B'Poyal, when it comes to Hashem, those who do evil B'Poyal, Bein Odom Lachaveroi, Nikroim Tzorei Hashem. V'Yitzuyar means the description of this is She'enoi Oyev Rak She'isel Lahanos, like we said before. So that is called a Tzar. When Hashem sees one human being cause pain to another human being, when there's a breakdown in society, that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Tzar. They're taking away Hashem's world. Hashem created a world, and these individuals want that. They want possession of something for their own benefit. They want wealth, they want power, they want prestige. And the only way they can achieve that is by destroying other people. That is called a Tzar.
So much on an individual level as in on a more of a mass level, right?
Okay, fine, on a mass level, whatever it is.
Threatened because some individual mistreats another.
Okay. Yeah,
what I'm saying is, it seems to me Hashem has red lines. He's patient, but then there's a red line.
Right. But he's coming over here to break it down into different parts. Hashem has patience when it comes to issues that are in the mind, that are not affecting the daily affairs of man. He goes on to explain those that are koifrim, those that deny Hashem's existence, but they do set up a society that is functional. Those people Hashem has patience for, but people who are Bali Avera, who destroy the basic ability for society to function, those people Hashem cannot wait to have patience with, because the world needs to continue. The world needs to go on. He goes further. Those that deny Hashem, they don't do anything physically to one another. That is one difference. Further, Netira is hatred in the heart. Takes action. Hashem's enemies, who are destroying the fabric of this world by killing each other. Hashem cannot be patient. Hashem must take action immediately to save the world. But to Hashem's enemies, people that are not physically destroying the world, but instead are denying Hashem's existence, Koifrim, Hamachishim el lo kusoi, ve'ena mireim b'poyal hu noiter, hachem b'leiv, Hashem guards the hatred in his heart, ve'ena manish tegif. Okay, this is a very beautiful hakdama to this sefer. Let's read the pasuk and son explain it again. Yes.
Can a civilization that denies God exist for very long? Must it break down?
Eventually it does, because if you don't believe in Hashem, then you come Sodom. You can come up with if you don't believe in Hashem, you don't accept Hashem's Torah, then you'll become a liberal. And you'll create laws that will destroy society. But it doesn't happen.
More of totalitarian states and things like that.
China.
Communism.
China.
China seems to be functioning. I mean, I don't know the inside. You read in the news, they kill a million people a year. I don't know. They kill a million people a year. Is that true? It says in the news that they kill a million, they murder, they execute a million people a year. Is that true? So that's pretty bad. No. That's not, Hashem cannot.
That's a drop in the bucket over there, but still.
So only Hashem. Only on the other hand, listen, I don't know. I don't have any understanding of how these things work. China seems to be a society that is functional. Okay, it doesn't seem like a...
It's functional because a minority holds the power.
Okay, but a minority is holding the power, and if the people in the country are happy, I don't know if they're happy or not.
No,
I don't know. What?
No, you don't.
Some are not. If everyone was not happy, there's no way they can survive. That's not the way the world goes. Eventually, there'll be a rebellion.
Look at North Korea. Nobody's happy there. They're around a long time.
Mamish, no one's happy?
Nobody.
So eventually, you can't survive like that. So kind of, but if you, I don't know the inside of all the different what's going on. But basically, the society is, he's saying a society. If you have a society that is functional, and people are happy with themselves to a degree, whatever that means, and they're in total rebellion and denial of Hashem, they rebel against Hashem, they're kaifrim, they don't want to acknowledge, but society is functional. People live, people have what to eat, people do they help each other to some degree.
Where is this place?
I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Obviously, there are degrees. There are madregos. I don't know. But whatever.
I'm suggesting that if there's a society where there's no God, it has to fall apart at some point.
Okay, so you're really
because
challenging
produce,
the.
Because you can't produce happiness.
Okay, you're challenging the premise of the Malbim. That's what I'm getting after this conversation is getting longer and longer. You're challenging this premise. You're saying that it's impossible to have one without the other. You're suggesting that if you have a country that is a koyfer b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, that will automatically lead to corruption and anarchy and chorbin, where they kill one another. So it's all the same. The Malbim seems to be saying that there can exist, at least for a period of time, one without the other. He's suggesting, at least theoretically.
In the short term.
Okay, Enochanami. Okay, that Enochanami. I'm not Enochanami. That can very well be, but he's definitely making this suggestion that there can be such a thing of a society that is functional, where people coexist peacefully, and yet they're in denial and an open rebellion against Hashem. Such a society, the Malbim is suggesting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show patience to. Erech Apayim. But a society that is so morally corrupt, where there is a breakdown of civility, where people are stealing and they're killing each other, Hashem does not have the luxury of being patient. Because if you'll be patient, there'll be nothing to be patient for. They'll kill each other before you turn around. He's making such a suggestion that such a thing can exist. You're saying it cannot exist. You're saying is that if you have a society that is an open rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that will automatically translate into corruption and disintegration where they will be non-functional. Okay? If that's correct, that's true. I hear what you're saying. But theoretically, he's saying such a thing does exist is his opinion, and that's how he wants to break down the pasuk.
He's not giving examples, so.
What about Ninveh? Maybe in ancient times, you're saying that today can't exist. You're saying that today in China, and in Russia, North Korea, and in Cuba, and in all these countries. What about Australia? Australia is a religious country? Australia? Are they in rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? It doesn't seem to be too religious. When I've read about Australia, they don't seem to be at war with anyone in the world. You know, it seems very happy there in Australia.
People walking around upside
down. Doesn't seem in Australia people are like in North Korea. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I go check it out. They're happy?
Of course.
North Korea? They say they're happy.
They have to say they're happy.
Are you sure? They are happy. They don't know any good.
Sure, they walk around
what
smiling.
They
don't know what it means to be happy.
And what?
I don't know. I don't know. And what about in South Korea? What's going on over there? They're happy there in South Korea? They are religious. Do they believe it? Do they believe in anything? I don't know. Okay, let's go further. We have here a very interesting idea, and this is how he reads the very first pasuk. Rabbi Yitzchak, this how he reads the pasuk. He's not breaking the pasuk into three parts. All the other commentators broke down the pasuk into three parts. He's only bringing the pasuk into two parts. Kel, Kanoi, Vinoikem, Hashem. Period. That's the first part of the Vinoikem Hashem, Kel Kanoi, Vinoikem Hashem. Period. That's the first part of the pasuk. The next part of the pasuk is, and then at that part of the pasuk, Hashem is going to act immediately. Hashem is not going to wait. No waiting. Then when it says, Noikem Hashem Ubal Chema, I don't know, maybe he's putting the period in a different place. Maybe it could be that he's not following the Tami HaMikra. He's saying, Kel Kanoi, V'noikem Hashem, Noikem Hashem, period. He's not following the Tami HaMikra. He's taking all of those expressions, Kel Kanoi, V'noikem Hashem, and Noikem Hashem, repetition, I don't know what the repetition is for, period. All of that implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not wait. He takes action immediately. Then it goes on to say, there's a second type of midah, uval chema, period. Baal chema means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is patient. Patient. I'm not going to take revenge immediately. So what's the difference between the first part of the pasuk and the second part of the pasuk? The first part of the pasuk is disgusting when the society breaks down. There is murder and theft. The second part of the pasuk of Baal chema, that is disgusting, where the society is functional, but the people are in denial of Hashem's existence. Then when it says, Noikem Hashem Litzarav, that's going back on the beginning of the pasuk, that in the society where it's not functional, Hashem has no choice to take immediate action. And that's why we use the word Litzarav, and that's why we have again the word Noikem. The next part of the pasuk where it says Noiteruhu le'oivav, oivav means those that are koifer b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they deny Hashem's existence, but they're not actually destroying society. And to those people, Hashem is noiter. He's waiting. He's not taking immediate action. He's only in a state of wait. Okay, that's the way the Malbim is learning shot in this pasuk. Now let's see the next pasuk, pasuk Gimel, in the Malbim. Hashem, Erech HaFav, Hashem is patient. Be'er Inyan HaNetira. This pasuk is coming to explain patience. This that it said in pasuk Beis, Hashem is noiter, hu lo'ivav, we're now going to explain what that means. Hashem erech apayim, be'er inyan hanetira, shebezehu marech af einu manesh ktekef. Hashem is patient and does not punish immediately. V'ze mitzad shehu gidol koyach. It's because of the midah being great. K'mo shekasov v'yato yigin lo koyach Hashem, by Moshe Rabbeinu, kasher dibarto lema Hashem erech apayim. The ability to be patient and to hold back and only punish when you want is an attribute of greatness, of power, restraint. A human being only has that much patience. There's going to be a breaking point. Because, what's the reason? Because, like we learned yesterday and 2 days ago, is because man realizes his time on this world is very short. It's very limited. And therefore, if not now, imloy achshav emosai. I only have that much time and opportunity to get the job done. But Hashem, Aval Hashem mitzad shu grav koyach, marichaf. Hashem has plenty of patience. Uvechol zoyz v'nakel. Hashem has plenty of patience because Hashem has all the time in the world. Okay, now what's the next part of the pasuk? V'nakel lo yinakem. Ki soifay lahanish ulahashmid es oivav es tismalei sasam. Okay, so here the Malbim introduces a new yisoid that no one here said so far. It's not a new Yisoid, it's an old Yisoid, but he's the only one here on the page to mention this idea. Because we said, V'nakeh lo yinakeh, and we already went through many Mefarshim, and no one said this, and that is, Ad shetimale sasam. When their measure is full.
It's like a red line.
We know that by Kadosh Baruch, by Klal Yisrael, Hashem does not wait until we fill up the cup, until our measure of sin is full. Because if Hashem were to punish us in one shot, He would allow us to accumulate averos until we're all the way up to the top, and then punish us in one shot. We would be destroyed immediately, and we would not survive. So what does Hashem do? Hashem punishes us little by little. Do a little avera, right away this punishment, another avera, this punishment. That way we're able to tolerate the punishment, and we're not destroyed. But by the goyim, Hashem allows them to sin, and He's patient, and He lets them accumulate their averos, and then He punishes them in one shot, and the accumulation of sin, to be punished for the accumulation of sin in one shot, it obliterates them, it destroys them completely. This is the basic insight in how Hashem deals with the goyim versus the way Hashem deals with us. Okay, I told you once, I have a friend who was in business. He told me this. I know very well this person. He's in business, and he has a competitor. And the competitor was very nice to him, and they would give him business, and not only would they give him business, they would encourage him to borrow supplies. It's a very complicated type of business, and they have to order supplies from China. They were very clever in giving him business, sending business his way, and he did not have the raw materials to do the job, so they would say, "Don't worry, well, we have surplus. You could have it." And they gave the materials, and then it was clear as day when it was all over. They did this deliberately. They waited until his debt was sky high, and then they said, "Okay, it's now time to pay up." And he said, "I can't pay you in one shot. I don't have the money to pay you in one shot." So they said, "No, you have to pay. If you don't pay now, we are going to send the collection agency after you. And if you can't pay, so just sell us your business. Your business has value, and just sell us the business." And then he realized that was their plan all along. They were very devious, and they wanted to squash the competition. And they were very clever. And the way you squash the competition is you send your competitors business and you send them the materials that they need and you let their debt accumulate more and more and more and more. And then you come to collect knowing they cannot pay up. And the way that you collect the debt is by acquiring your competition.
That's how loan sharks operate.
Exactly. Real dirty business. And this fellow came that close to losing his business. He decided that it was worth it for him to basically mortgage his house and to borrow a lot of money to pay out the debt in one shot to stay alive. And he learned his lesson the hard way. Watch out. Watch out. That's exactly what Hashem does to the goyim. Hashem, you do an aveira? It's okay. Do another aveira. Keep on going. Keep on going. And then what happens? Hashem says it's payday. It's payday. Oh, you don't have you can't pay up. I'll destroy you. And Hashem does not do this in a devious way, like this fellow did to my friend. But that's the way Hashem operates with the goyim. He allows their debt to accumulate, and then it comes time to pay up. They can't pay up, and the punishment is so severe, it puts them under. By a Klal Yisrael, Hashem does not allow that to happen. Hashem is very careful. Hashem knows the future, they're not going to be able to pay the debt in one shot, so Hashem punishes little by little, so they'll be able to tolerate, to bear the punishment, and they will grow slowly. This is an old Yisoid, but this Yisoid, the Malbim, beautifully reads into the word V'nakeh, Lo yinake. This, that it appears that I am forgiving. No. I'm only forgiving in order to reach the madrega of lo yinake. I'll never forgive you and I'll destroy you. It's a very beautiful parish in the Pasuk. Because the question, everyone on this page is struggling with the repetition. Nake, lo yinake. Just say, either nake or say lo yinake. If Hashem is forgiving, nake. If Hashem is not forgiving to his enemies, lo yinake. And that's the simul pshat. The simul pshat is there are two separate phrases. There's nake for Hashem's friends, for klal Yisrael, Hashem is forgiving. Lo yinake, Hashem is not forgiving to his enemies. That's the pshut shel mikra. But it's too simplistic. So we had all the other peirushim. The other peirushim we said was the co-payment. Even though Hashem is very generous, is nake, 95% is nake, there's a mashahu of lo yinake. There's going to be a co-payment. And then we had the other peirush of that we didn't explain this. It just said ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy them. But the Malbim is coming to give a little flavor to understand the combination of the two words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is lo yinakeh to his enemies. Hashem will obliterate his enemies. The way Hashem obliterates his enemies, his technique, his method, is to be nakeh. Is in the meantime, I will be forgiving. Not that I am moichel you. I let it go. I let it pass. In order that it should accumulate, tismale saw, the measure should be filled. And then in one shot, lo yinake, it's payday. You can't afford to pay. I'm going to take you out of business.
That's noter. That's why you know.
That's all nichlal in noter. So the translation of noiter is nake lo yinake. Nake lo yinake is the method of noiter. Hashem waits patiently to ultimately pay up. So how does that work? We're explaining. It's nake. In the meantime, Hashem is forgiving for the few moments in order to let it until it accumulates. And then Hashem says, lo yinake, I'm not going to let you go get away with this. And then they're wiped out.
Yes. That he has.
We spent 20 minutes explaining this. You can't come in the middle. I apologize to you and start from the beginning. Okay, we're developing this for 20 minutes. You can't do that.
Even I wasn't. I'm asking.
Okay. You have to be fair. Let's go further. V'ratza b'zesh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. Now we're going to Nineveh. Okay, Nineveh has these qualities. Now he's coming to explain over here some very fascinating insights. We know that Nineveh, we discarded the Sefer, Nineveh was destroyed more than once. What is going on? What's going on over here with Nineveh? Yonah ben Amittai, he gave them Musa. And they did teshuva. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. We read Yonah on Yom Kippur. They did teshuva. They only did a partial teshuva. Shavu rak min hechomos asher bekapehem v'loshavu me'avodas Elohim achirim k'mo shepirashti sham. They did not do teshuva from kefira. Ki al avodah zara u'kefira. It's beautiful what the Malbim over here is doing. The Malbim is saying he breaks up Averois into two categories. Averois when society collapses. When there is corruption, there is theft, there is murder. Versus Averois of denial of Hashem's existence. Nineveh had both. Mitzadecha, there was corruption in society. The society was collapsing. Mitzad Sheni, they denied Hashem's existence. So Mitzad, the denial of Ben Adam Lachaveroi, the problem is Ben Adam Lachaveroi, Hashem cannot have patience. Because if Hashem shows patience, there'll be nothing left to show patience for. But Mitzad Kefira, that is where Hashem is able to exercise patience. So when Hashem sent Yoina to Nineveh, he was giving them Musa for both. What did they do to Shuvah for? Only for murder, for Gizela, Gineva, for those issues. But they did not do to Shuvah for denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for that, Hashem is able to wait. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. V'rak also it says v'rak al Hamas hashabazet nikroim b'shem tzarim. Only in regard to Hamas, that's the term tsar, as we started today. Tsar is in reference to sins ben adam lachaveroi. Rotzo lahavidam takef ba'od arboim yoim. Yoina came to Ninveh and told them they're going to be destroyed within 40 days. That was for the Hamas. Asher bekapeim. Ad kan hitziya midas Hashem. So Hashem had no choice but to punish them immediately. But in regard to their denial of Hashem, the kefira, that Hashem had a lot of patience for. That's not an emergency. Ata now Yahaskil Hatsia to express, to lay out the Echos on Shoy Vinikmasai, Umitsayer Bias Hashem Hiskalusai, Hashem's arrival and his revelation. Lahashmid, and now on the next page, Lahashmid Es Horoshoim Bisholosh Madrego Zoy Achar Zoy. The whole Madrego, and each Madrego Yitsayer Bitsir Acher Neru Marish Umavhil Moid, each Madrego is. Okay, now he's coming over here to explain, he's going further, explaining over here when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does come take revenge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge on three different stages. V'chol madrego yitzar b'tzir achel neiro marish v'mavil ma'id v'hu ki hilbish militzasai. Hashem is coming to clothe his expressions, his metaphors, b'chezyonois mafilois, in terrifying visions, ki ilu arba'o ho'esanim, the four Esonim Mitsuke Oretz, the four different powers of the foundations of the earth. What are the four different foundations of the earth? Four Yesoides. Shehem Arba'o HaYesoides Yoitzim Itoy, that come forth with him. Lahacharev Ulahashmid Eskol Pnei Hodama. Now, Medrega Achas, he explains, Yitzayer, his Eurus Hashem Leired, Migove, Miramim, El Oretz, Lahacharev Isa. The first thing in the Kalash Baruch, he descends. Yitzayer Halichoitz, Eli Malki Bakoidesh. Okay, this is a pasuk. Eli means the mighty Malki Bakoidesh. Im Shnei HaYisoides Hashabo, Yitzayru Hamalitzim, Estarko Velihu, Shehu Yisoid HaRuach, Viyisoid Hamayim. The first thing is, what?
Do you know what he's talking about?
No.
He's talking about the four elements.
Okay.
Air, earth, wind, and fire.
Air, earth, wind, and fire. Okay, the four elements. Okay. So the first is ruach v'yisod hamayim, wind and water. V'al ze amar Hashem b'sufa uv'sara darkoi haderech sheyelech el aretz hi b'sufa uv'sara, wind. V'roichev, he rides al of kal on a very swift cloud. Hanosei yisod hamayim. Okay, that's water. So he's translating for us. The anon avak raglov is mayim. No one said that. Rashi, Radak, Mitsudois, everyone said anon avak raglov is choshech, darkness. And we discussed yesterday depression, right. Darkness. He's not saying that. We're not discussing darkness. We're discussing water, a flood. And the before Bisufo Visara is wind. So far two Yesoidas. And the next two Yesoidas are going to be in the next pasuk. Shehu Anon Vuhu Avak Raglov. Ki ilu Bahalichasa Bimirutsa Mala Avak Vuhu He Anon, it's the cloud. Right, it's the Lomar. Shaz Yesoidu Shne Yesoidas Hamacharivim Hayisha Lupamim Kumasar Mishalil Oiker Hardim Umashabis Loim. Very strong, powerful winds, tornadoes or hurricanes, or floods. Okay, so far we have two, and the next pasuk is going to discuss seemingly the next two. So what has he done over here for us? So the Malbim, before you go further, the Malbim over here, as we recap, the Malbim has taught us a lot of Yesoidas. Number one, there are two different, all Averois in this world can be categorized, Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, Ben Adam L'Makoim. Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, Hashem doesn't wait. There is no patience. Ben Adam L'Makoim, Hashem waits. Ninveh was both. Ninveh had sins, Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, and sins, Ben Adam L'Makoim. Hashem sent Yoina, to tell them that he's going to destroy them within 40 days because of the sins of Adam Lacha Veroi. They did teshuva only on the sins Ben Adam Lacha Veroi, and that's why Hashem did not destroy them for that. But what was pending, what was still there, the sins Ben Adam La Mokoim, and that Hashem has patience. Here, Nachum is going to describe the sins later Ben Adam La Mokoim, and the later destruction. When we describe over here in these pesukim, like the sparkle is coming to destroy them, he's coming now to destroy them for the sins, for these sins. Now the patience has run out, and we're now going to begin to describe their destruction. And the destruction is going to come in the form of four different yesoidas. And the first two that we mentioned is the sufa and the sa'ara. That's the yesoid of wind. And then is the onan, avakra, glov, is going to be water. Unlike, different than we learned until now, that the onon avak raglov is nothing to do with water. It has to do with darkness. Like this week's parsha, the makah of choshech, as we discussed yesterday at great length. Okay, he makes no mention of three categories. Everyone over here, that we learn on the page, they broke the pasuk down into three categories. Kel, ka'anoi v'noi keim Hashem, number one. Number two was Noikem Hashem Ubal Chema was number two. Noikem Hashem Litzarav V'noiter Hu Le'oivav was three. Past, present, future, or corresponding to the three stages of exile of Gol Melech Asher. Asher exiled Klal Yisrael De'aseres HaShvatim in three stages. So these three sections correspond to those three stages. And likewise, later on by Nebuchadnezzar also would come about in three different stages. The Malbim completely ignores breaking up the pasuk into three. Instead, he breaks it up into two. The way he breaks it into two is problematic because he's not following the Tamei HaMikra, and it appears to be a bit too much repetition. So even though his parish is very beautiful, it explains why we have over here at Tsarav and Oivav, but he does not really explain how to explain the break up the pasuk in the first part of the pasuk, Kel Kanoi, and then when I came, Kel Kanoi, V'noikem Hashem, noikem Hashem, period. That's part number one. Part number two is Ubal Chema, done. Then he repeats himself. We go back. Part one is noikem Hashem litzarav, immediate. And number two, the patience is noiterhu loivav. And Pasuk Gimel explains what it means to have patience. Good, we're done with that. Let's now take a look at
the time of Mabul of Noam was both of them.
So this is something we learned in the Radak, not necessarily that we learned yesterday. In the Psukim, it only says there was water. It only says in the Torah there was water from above and from below. In Chazal, it tells us there was a change in the gravitational pull of Shemayim. Hashem removed stars. The Radak was the only one who cited a pasuk in Eoiv that he understood to mean that at the time of the Mabul, Hashem also used wind. That's not the Pashtos.
I mean that because there was between the people, Hamas, Hashem didn't tolerate it.
Correct.
And the Dura Pedagog was with Hashem tolerated.
Very good. You're saying that the difference in the beginning of the parsha of Noach is Is corruption, chomos. There was no tolerance, and the Dor HaFloga, the Migdal Bavel, was against Hashem. So there was patience. Very good. That fits in very well with the Malbim. How he learns the pasuk into two parts, the two different types of punishments. Hashem is only patient when it comes to apikursis. Hashem is not patient when it comes to a breakdown of society, of chomos. And in Echanami, you see that idea captured in Parshas Noach, where Hashem was not patient in the beginning of the parasha because the primary sin was chamas, but Hashem was patient in the end of the parasha where the primary problem was kefira in Hashem. Excellent. Okay, good. You said good. We got to go weiter. We have to go further. Ad kan. We have to go weiter. Choy masanach. Let's page 539. Let's learn the chidah. Chidah. Well, no, we have to. We already did the Mamre Chazal. On the other page, there is one more Mamre. Let's go on page 541. 541 Mamre Likutei Shas Umidrash Hatanoim Besufu V'Sor Darkoi. The Mamre Chazal. Kishama Moshe Yisrael Achrei Hashem Melchechem Teleichu. Amuloi. When Moshe told Klal Yisrael serve Hashem, they said to Moshe, Miyuchal Lahalech B'Drachav. Shekeinu Oimer, Bisufa uvisara darkoi. Oimer, Bayom darkecha ushvilcha b'mayim rabim. It says that Hashem's way is through wind. Hashem travels on water. Eish lefanev telech. So here the Midrash cites three psukim. Klal Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, you shall go in the ways of Hashem. Klal Yisrael responded, that's impossible. Hashem travels in the air, like it says in this pasuk, Bisufo v'sodarkoi. There's another pasuk that says Hashem travels in the water. And there's a third pasuk that says Hashem travels in fire. Okay, this is a very beautiful medrash. Hashem Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael, you shall imitate and go in the ways of Hashem. Klal Yisrael responds, that is impossible, because Hashem travels in water, Hashem travels in air, and Hashem travels in fire. Man cannot walk on water. Man cannot walk in the air. Man cannot walk in fire. So how do you expect a human being to travel in the style and the method of Hashem? Moshe answers, no. Moshe, you have to have respect. Excuse me, sir. You have to have respect for the people in this room. There are other people. You're taking advantage. You're taking advantage. Listen to me. There are other people in this room besides you.
I left here, you call me, come.
If that's the consequence,
if
that's the consequence, then you'll have to, then go there. You have to have respect for
what
people.
What is my respect to people? I'm asking.
Who is giving the share? You or someone else?
No, I'm
Let me ask you a question. Who is saying the share? You or someone else?
I am sitting here, you.
Who is saying the share? Are you saying the share or is someone else saying the share? Who is saying the share? Answer the question. Are you saying the share?
I should be happy to ask you. Why you should
I'm thrilled, but in moderation. I got it. Excuse me. In moderation, there's a time to ask and there's a time not to ask.
Anytime, time to ask.
No, yes. No, that's not the way it works.
Yes.
No,
time,
I'm sorry.
Every time he's to ask.
I'm sorry, that's not the way it works. It's not a chavrusa.
Okay,
not...
we should zip.
No,
okay.
I didn't say
mute.
That.
Mute, is it here? Okay, mute.
I didn't say that.
Okay, mute. No, ask.
I did not say that. I did not say that. That's a lie. There's a time to ask and there's a time to listen. There's a shir. This is not a chavrusa. This is not, we're not having a chavrusa here. Right. Let's go further. It says here in the Hashem travels in three different methods. Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, follow Hashem. And Klal Yisrael said that's impossible. So what was the response? The response was, Omar HaMoshe, lo yamarti lochem kach. That's not what I said. Ela, dirachov chesed ve'emes. Shenemar kol or choysov chesed ve'emes. So what is Chazal telling us? Chazal is an incredible Chazal. When it says in the pasuk that you shall imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, next week's parasha, Ze Keli V'an Vehu, Ani V'hu, Chazal say, Hevei Doime Loi. It's one of the most famous Mamori Chazal. This is my God, V'an Vehu, and I will glorify him. That's the Sibyl translation. What is the Drash? Ani vuhu. I will imitate him. I will be just like who? How does one imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, like Rabbi Fran said, don't let perfection be the enemy of good. This is being repeated throughout the world only a billion times. I knew this when I saw him screaming when I was at the Siyum HaShas. I couldn't hear a word he said. Where I sat, there was a horrible echo, like five echoes, because there was a screen in the back that was delayed by a second, and the room itself had an echo, and the position. But all I saw was he all of a sudden raised his voice and started saying something, and I knew, oh no, what's this? What is this? And then when I listened closely, he repeated himself five times. He said, "Don't let perfection be the enemy of good." You cannot be like the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're not going to be perfect. to be mamish, have a doime loy 100%. Hashem walks on water. Hashem travels in fire. Hashem travels in the air. That's not what it means. Have a doime loy in Hashem's midos. He is mole chesed. You have to be mole chesed. Hashem is emes. Strive for the truth. That's all it means. It's not all or nothing. This medrash over here is a very beautiful medrash because that's in don't. It's not all or nothing. It's not perfect. It's what you can take, what it's possible for a human being to take out of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Next, the anan of a graglov. Next time, Chazal on Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi beheyavko imoy melamish shehalu Yaakov avamalach avak miragloisav ad akis Yaakovid ksivhacha beheyavko imoy ksivhasan va'anan avak raglov. Now this is another explosive Maamar Chazal, especially now that we have the advantage of going through the various mefarshim of what exactly that it means, heve, of what it means, these words of the anan avak raglav, that underneath the dust of Hashem is underneath Hashem's legs, underneath Hashem's
the kisei,
there is dust, raglav, there is dust. Now what does that mean? So we had two perushim. Everyone versed the Malbim. All of the commentators said it means darkness. Everyone said that. The only one that said it means water is the Malbim. Now let's go to Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav were wrestling. Vayovek ish imoy. Yaakov, the Malach, the Sar Shel Esav, was wrestling with Yaakov. The wrestling is described in the pasuk word vayeovek ish imoy. Chazal darshin vayeovek dust.
Yeah. Avok. What we call a dust up.
A dust up?
Yeah.
It's an English expression.
Scuffle.
Scuffle, dust, fine. What is the dust? Chazal, say, you want to know what it means? You want to know what it means? Whatever it means in this pasuk, that's what it means over there. Because here it says v'onon avak raglov. Again, what did the Chazal say? We have inside information. We learn Nachum. Who would ever expect to learn Nachum? Who is Nachum? And now we have this pasuk, Anan Avag Raglov, and we have here the Likutei Shas making bring to our attention this Maimah Chazal, Omar Rebbe Yishuv ben Levi Beavko Imoy Milamed Shehelu Yaakov Amalach Avak Miragloisav Ad Kisya Kovod Ksiv Hocha Beavko Imoy Ksiv Hasam VeAnan Avak Raglov. Wow. So what does that mean to teach us? Let's interpret this. Just like over here, let's interpret the pasuk in Vayishlach with the lens of Nachum. Just like over here, according to most of the commentators, it means darkness. When Yaakov was wrestling with the Malach and he was inflicting harm upon Klal Yisrael, what is the nature of harm that the Umay Sa'olam inflict upon Klal Yisrael throughout Golos? This wrestling match is the story of Golos. And the end was Vayiga Bekaf Hayorech. But there's a struggle. There's a struggle, and we are wounded in this struggle. But it's not just, most of us look at it simply is that the damage is limping. No, it's not just the limping that is the damage that Esav brought upon Yaakov Avinu. The damage was the avok, the wrestling match. What is the damage? The damage is they bring upon Klal Yisrael darkness. They confuse us. Klal Yisrael, their very nature is light. Ulchol b'nei Yisrael hoya. Or b'may shvaisam. And what do? They bring upon us their darkness. They try to take their darkness and throw it upon us. And you have precedent for this in this week's parasha. Who died during the Yimei Choshech? 4/5 of Klal Yisrael died during the Yimei Choshech. What does that really mean? It means that Klal Yisrael suffered Choshech as well. Choshech, there was Choshech for Egypt, and there was Choshech for Klal Yisrael. Was it the same darkness? Well, it couldn't be very pleasant when 4/5 of Klal Yisrael died. It's not to be imagined, not to be understood what this means exactly. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. One-fifth left. Four-fifths died. When did they die? During Yimei HaChoshech. The Holocaust was a third. A third of Klal Yisrael were destroyed. Could you imagine four-fifths being destroyed? It's not to be believed. And you'll tell me and there wasn't torture? There was just as much torture taking children and using them as bricks in the pyramid is just as bad as what went on in World War II in the Holocaust. What?
But the other method, like assimilation, that could get four-fifths.
Okay, so what does it mean for but four-fifths die during Yimei Choshech? So is that not Choshech v'klal Yisrael? That is also what it means. Vayeovek ish imoy adalos hashachar avok v'anon avak raglov is darkness. The struggle, the wrestling match of Yaakov and the Tsar Shel Esav produced choshech for Klal Yisrael. If you want to learn like the Malbum, what does it mean, v'yonon avak raglov? A cloud is something which is a metaphor for mayim, for water, for a flood. And what does a flood do? Destruction. Flood. What then did Esav, how do they harm Klal Yisrael? Well, first of all, kol habein hayiloid, but that's you're also into the river. But I don't know what this means. If you want to go take the interpretation of the Malbim and say that it means water, it means water. It means they drowned us. They drowned us with water. Whatever. I'm not clear how that means. But it's another dimension of the suffering that the Umma Yisraelim have brought upon Klal Yisrael throughout our history.
Golus is often compared to raging waters trying to engulf us.
Engulf us. But that's not a cloud. There's rain, there is a tsunami, water from below, and there's water from above. Water from below is called Habein Hayiloid Hayoira Tashlichu. Then there's Mayim from above. There is storms, where there's floods, where the heavens open up, and there's a flood, a marble. The Umay Sa'olam throughout our history tried to destroy us with a technique of flooding us, milamala, whatever that means. Yes.
The more you're connecting, the dust kicked up in the cosmic struggle that reaches the Kisei HaKavod, right?
Okay, that's important, right?
Whose image is on the Kisei HaKavod?
Yaakov.
So, some kind of connection.
Vayeovek ish imoy. Okay, he's saying very well. Vayeovek ish imoy. Excellent. You're making a suggestion is that the Kisei HaKavod, how do you get the Kisei HaKavod? Raglov. Because Raglov means when Hashem, the feet of Hashem, I'm not really clear with that. Avak margiloisav. The word, the avak raglov. Avak raglov means the dust of the feet. Ad kisya kovid. Vayovik ish imoy. Ad alis hashochar. Ksefacha vayovko imoy. Ksefasam v'anon avak raglov. All right, we'll leave it with that. Okay, let's go take a look quick. Let's start a little bit.
Question?
Yes.
Yes. Kizoyarikia.
So you want to suggest, or if David is suggesting, that the reason why he refers to the Kisei HaKavod is because v'tachas raglov, you're making another link. Kemase sapir, sapphire. That's very nice, a beautiful thing you say. You're coming to explain how do we know, it's a very good question, how do we know vayeovek ish imoy ad alois hashochar, they brought up dust, ad Kisei HaKavod. Kisei HaKavod, man dekar shemei. So Rav David is giving us a brilliant answer. He's connecting a double link. We're connecting avak to the pasuk over here. That's the chazal. It says there, Vayeovek, Ovek is Lashon Avok, and Chazal clearly connected to this pasuk here where's the pasuk go? The pasuk here that says V'anon Avak Raglov, and it says Raglov, and it says Kisei HaKovoid in connection with the word Raglov. V'sachas Raglov Ke'even Kisapir Hashram L'Toyar. And that refers to the Kisei HaKovoid. So it's like a double gzeirah shavah. Very good. So now you have shot in the pasuk. Okay, let's just start briefly. Let's just get a little bit of the Chumash Hanoch. Let's see if we can get because we're running out of time. Pasuk Beis in the Chumash Hanoch on page 539. Kel Kanoi v'Nekem Hashem Nekem Hashem u'Bal Chimo Efshar Lefi Masha Kasav Harav Rabbi Menachem Azaria. Page 539. Zal Dehagoyim Ein Lachem Teshuva. Okay, now this is an explosive topic. Can a goy do teshuva? I just heard a shiur on this topic. Is there such a thing as a goy doing teshuva? The goyim have the Zayin Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noyach. Let us say a goy is a serial murderer, or even a murderer. Is there such a principle by a goy that he can do teshuva for his aveiros, where Hashem will forgive him? Oh, so Ninveh is a raya, they can do teshuva. Let's see. So there's a very big debate over here. The goyim, he writes over here, the ein lochem teshuva. Oh, but how could, what about Ninveh? The inyan Ninveh, shenirah shehoyeyilu b'tshuvasam. What's pshat? But it says by Ninveh they did the teshuva. No, that's not the pshat. You don't know the sugi of Ninveh. Loi limchais ha'avayin. Doing teshuva by a goy only accomplishes delay. You hear a chiddush? Such an incredible chiddush? A Jew, when he does teshuva, he achieves forgiveness. When a goy does teshuva, it's impossible to gain forgiveness. The most he can gain is delay. Ninveh was ultimately destroyed because they were guilty. The gain, the advantage of them doing teshuva was delay. Lo limchay sa'avayin, ela laharich zman. Uchmoy shekos savnu bi'i ni yu. Be ba a ni you say nu la el in our discussion before b'nevuas yoina lefize evshad the zek kavanas hakasav. Now we can understand pshat in the pasuk over here according to this principle. It says your kel kanoi v'nekem Hashem loymar she b'nevuas yoina sheshavu v'hoye nireish niskablo teshuvasa v'nislach avoinam. This that it appears that Hashem forgave Ninveh. Guess what? Leze omar, it's not true. Don't make any mistake about it. The people of Ninveh were slated for destruction. Omar, Kel Kanoi Vinoikeim Hashem. Adayin Avoinois Ninveh Kayomim, they still exist. Vinoikeim Hashem li parmehem avoinois rishoinim. Noikeim Hashem Balchema. Ad al Sha'atoh Sifulachatoy and Hashem is they're continuing to do Averos. Ubalchema Shechaju Mitshuvasa Masher Nichnu Vichardu Vicharad Gedoila. He's understanding this pasuk to mean that they have gone back to their old ways. The atah now hisifu al chatasam veomar noikim Hashem litzarav kolaymar zesh shamarti shlo ha'ilu b'shuvasam haynu lagoyim she'ein lachem teshuvas noikim Hashem litzarav dafka ma she'ein kein li Yisrael. Yisrael is they are not called his tzarav. So he is learning shot in this pasuk to mean that's where it ends. Very cryptic. We're going over here. He is kel kanoi v'noikem Hashem noikem Hashem u'balchema noikem Hashem litzav noitehul oivav. Pasuk Beis is describing the goyim. This that it appears that Hashem forgave Ninveh is false. It's not true. Hashem never forgave them. Hashem just delayed their punishment. L'may nafkemina, when they go back to their old evil ways, they'll get it for everything that they've done in the past. Same idea.
That's what he says in Yoma.
So he's learning that into this pshat.
To be able to use them at this juncture, he couldn't let a Russia do it at this juncture. He had to at least have an excuse to let them be the ones.
So that's how he's doing shot here in this pasuk. Okay, we're going to stop over here tomorrow. We'll do one more parish. We have over here Rabbi Avraham ben Agra. another parish over here on this and this. So we'll do that tomorrow, and then we'll go further. Pasuk Dalet.